Take your Bibles, please turn to Romans chapter 1. How important is Thanksgiving? Well, I would like to submit to you that Thanksgiving is a key ingredient to your relationship with God. Thanksgiving is a key ingredient to your relationship with God. Think about today. How much of a heart of thankfulness did you have? How much thankfulness did you offer to God today? How much thanks did you offer to others? Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." We find that one of the characteristics here of someone who is far from God is their lack of thankfulness. Neither were they thankful. And what is this thankfulness closely associated with? Well, it's associated with glorifying God. And we find in the book of Psalms, what's one of the things that's associated with praising God, with giving glory to Him? Well, it's thankfulness, offering thanks to God. And why is thankfulness such a key ingredient in our relationship with God? Well, thanksgiving is a result of recognizing who God is. Go to Psalm chapter 97. Thanksgiving is a result of recognizing who God is. Psalm 97 and verse number 12. Psalm 97:12 states, "Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." So here we have thanksgiving associated with remembering God's holiness. What are we to do as we worship God? We are to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. We are to come before His presence. We are to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving and holiness are associated with the worship of God. And here it says to give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Holiness, or recognizing God's holiness, is associated here with thanksgiving. Remembering God's holiness is associated with thanksgiving. Go over to Psalm 106, and this verse occurs many times. One, two, three, four, at least five different times does this verse occur. Psalm 100 or something like it. Psalm 106, verse 1. "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Or you could read Psalm 107, verse 1. We're real close by. "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." As we meditate on God's mercy, as we meditate on the goodness of God, what should it bring to our hearts? It should bring thanksgiving. You know, if you recognize something as good, you know, maybe it's a restaurant, and you had a really good experience at a restaurant. Maybe they had really good prices, and you're thinking, oh boy, I don't know how great, these prices seem kind of cheap, but then the food comes out and it's really good. Do you think you're going to want to go back to that restaurant? Well, obviously, you're probably going to tell other people as well about it. Well, this is obvious. I mean, that illustration is almost not a good one because it doesn't even compare to the goodness of God. But I think we recognize when something is good, we want to go there again. When we begin to recognize God's goodness, we're going to thank Him for it, and it's going to cause us to what? To be close to God. What does it say in Psalm 103? It says, we are to what? Forget, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. talks about forgetting, not his benefits. All right, so we are to, as we think, as we recognize who God is, as we recognize his mercy and his goodness, there ought to be thanksgiving that is offered. Go to Psalm 119, verse 62. Psalm 119, verse 62, it says, "At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments." Here we see God and who he is, his righteous judgments. Imagine that. "At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments." When's the last time, or has it ever happened, that at midnight, or in the middle of the night, you have arisen to thank God as you were reminded of the truth of his word? Don't you think that would keep you close to God? You know, do you think somebody's going to get a bad attitude? Do you think somebody's going to stop coming to church, but yet they're going to still rise up at midnight and be thanking God for his righteous judgments? Well, I don't think that's going to happen. Here we see thanksgiving and a recognition of who God is. Psalm 108, verses 3 and 4. And actually, let's begin in verse number 1. It says, "O God, my heart is fixed. It's firmly established. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds." So here is somebody going to praise God, going to offer, really, praise to the Lord, thanksgiving to the Lord, why his mercy is great, his truth reacheth unto the clouds. Meditating upon who God is, recognizing who God is. You know, do we have that spirit of thankfulness for the great God that we serve? Do we recognize his truth, his righteousness, his holiness, his mercy, his goodness? Do you stop and praise God for who he is? Thankfulness is a key ingredient in your relationship with God, because thankfulness really is associated with a recognition of who God is. You know, and maybe in our lives we would have more thankfulness if we truly had an understanding of the character of the God that we serve. Is there that understanding, that recognition of who God is in your life? You know, if you truly have it, it's going to give you a heart of thanksgiving. But not only is it a result of recognizing who God is, but it's also a result of recognizing what God has done. Let's go to Psalm number 78. And notice the association with Israel staying close to God as they remember the works of God. Psalm number 78, verse number 4, it says, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." So here we have in verse 4, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done, communicating really that heart of gratefulness for what God has done to the next generation. You know, it's a key ingredient to keep them close to God. What happened in Israel? They what? They forgot what God had done. You know, but if they would have remembered his benefits, you know, if they would have been daily thanking God for what he had done, guess what they could have done? Stayed close to God. You know, you think of praising God for his works. And we can tie this message maybe into the Christmas story as we celebrate Christmas. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Notice the response of these people as they saw what God had done. Luke chapter 1, first we'll look at Mary, verses 46 through 49. You know, as you know, Mary had been told by Gabriel what was going to be done. And then here in verse 40, she enters into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Talks about 41, the babe leaped in her womb. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which are told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." Notice this heart of gratitude and thankfulness for what God has done. Go to Luke chapter 2. Notice the response of the shepherds. Verse number 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So they're glorifying and praising God. Notice the response of Simeon in verse number 28. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said. So we find him blessing God. Notice in verse number 38, the response of Anna. And she came in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So we find a heart of thanksgiving as they recognize the work here that God was doing. Do we have that heart of thanks when God does something great? If you look in Nehemiah at the building of the wall and the great celebration of thanksgiving that they had when that was done. In Ezra chapter 3, it talks about is after they laid the foundation of the temple, you see the celebration of thanksgiving that took place after God had done that work. You know, if we begin to look around and see what God has done, in Psalm 108, the verse there talked about, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." At the least, we can be thankful. At the least, but it's also the greatest thing we can be thankful is for our salvation. But as we begin to recognize God's hand at work, I'd like us to go to Ezra chapter 3 quickly and then tie this into the theme of really of our relationship with God and this thankfulness as the key. Ezra chapter 3. Verse 10, it says, "And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sung together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel." Now it says there, after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. Now imagine if Israel would have kept up, so to speak, in thanksgiving. You know, how would it have changed the course of their history? I think of, you know, if you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 31, you know, what was one of the results of the revival under Hezekiah? 2 Chronicles chapter 31, notice what took place after this revival. Verse 1 talks about how it got rid of all these idols and all this stuff. And then notice verse number 2. It says, "And Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service, the priests and Levites for burnt offerings and peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord." You know, if Israel would have kept up in the proper worship of God, and one of the keys was thanksgiving, how could it have changed the course of their nation? If they would have followed the instructions of Psalm number 78, think of how it could have changed the course of their history. And I would like us to think of one man in the Bible who stayed close to God. And let's go to Daniel chapter 6. And notice one of the things. We know that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. But I would like us to think of one more thing that took place in Daniel's life. We know that thanksgiving, it's obviously a work of God in our hearts. It's the result of our lives being controlled by the Spirit of God. But notice Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. It says here, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed," and what? "And gave thanks before his God as he," what? "As he did aforetime." What was Daniel doing daily in his life? Many times we understand he was praying, but what was he doing as a part of that prayer time? He was thanking God. You know, what maybe could have Daniel been doing? "Why have we been in bondage for all these years? Why did I get taken and away from my family and stuck in this place?" Now, obviously, God had blessed him and he had some high positions. You know, or maybe in this time, instead of thanking God, he could have said, "Why in the world did you allow this decree to happen?" But what's he doing? He's thanking God. You know, and what kind of a heart do we have when something difficult happens, like happened in Daniel's life? Do we pray? And do we thank God? Do we still see his goodness, his mercy, his truth, his holiness, his righteousness? You know, maybe this evening you sense in your heart a departure from where God would have you to be. And maybe one of the ingredients, the key ingredients that's missing, is that heart of thanksgiving that will keep you close to your Savior, even as it kept Daniel close to his God. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great God that you are. And Lord, how little we reflect upon your greatness. And yet, Lord, you are so great tonight. And Lord, we pray that you would help us tonight to get a glimpse of this, of the importance of thanksgiving in our lives. And Lord, how it can keep us close to you. Lord, help us to realize that, Lord, we need to be focusing on who you are. We need to be seeing your works around us. And Lord, may our hearts be full of gratitude. Lord, may we begin to grab a hold of how great your word is. Lord, that when we wake up in those night seasons, Lord, we would be waking up with a heart of thankfulness that would cry out, thanking you, Lord, for the precious promises that are in your word. Lord, may we follow that example of Daniel. Lord, even when troublesome time comes, Lord, we thank you that your faithfulness does endure. And Lord, we just pray that you would strengthen us and help us to see your goodness. And may it keep us close to your side, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.